Wired to be healed. The second message. And I want to start by saying that Christianity as we know today has drifted away from the Christianity that the first century knew. So much so that my boss told me, why don't you start writing on Back to the Bible series? I said, that's a good idea. And I already have 1, 2, 3 pages that I already wrote yesterday. I might share it with you today. I have made some discovery that a lot of people are afraid of talking. And I myself was afraid of talking about it without even knowing it. Let me start by saying this. One of the latest discoveries that I have made is God's perfect will is not to heal you. Well, preach, it goes against what you preach. Not necessarily. So, are you saying that it's God's perfect will for me to be sick? I didn't say that either. That's your conclusion. So what is God's perfect will for me and for you? God's perfect will is that you and I don't get sick. Are we together here? A lot of people will be surprised to find out that pathways of disease and health are extensively taught in the Bible. In other words, divine health, not healing, divine health is the principle of Scripture. Now, stay with me here. When God took Israel off Egypt, what differentiated the Israelites from the Egyptians was the blood at the doorpost. I'm going somewhere here. Whenever the angel of death and destruction came by a house, if there wasn't blood on the post, the firstborn in that house would have been destroyed, would have been killed by the angel of death. I'm going somewhere. The Israelites who believed the word of God sacrificed a lamb, took the blood, and put on the doorpost. So when the angel came, the angel skipped that house. The next morning, the Egyptians were in such a panic and alarm. Get out from our midst. Get out. I don't need a Christian here in Egypt. It's enough that your God has destroyed 9 of our gods. Stay with me here. On that very day, Israel ransacked Egypt in a holy way. What do you mean? Okay, we'll leave, but give us some gold. Take all the gold you can. Here's some silver too. Now get out from here. The blood was enough to spare their lives, to keep them healthy, and to financially bless them. Does anybody know where I'm going here? That very same blood that was offered empowered them to cross the Red Sea, and for 40 years they are walking on adverse conditions, which means desert. And yet, amidst of the heat on the day, God gave them air conditioning. There is a cloud filtering the rays of the sun. And when the temperature drops to 40 degrees in the evening, that cloud became a heater. And they were warmed up good enough they could sleep well. And the Bible said that for 40 years, the clothes didn't go bad, their sandals didn't wear out, and there was not a sick or feeble among the people of Israel. So what you're saying, preacher? God's divine or God's desire, perfect will for you, is not to heal you. God's desire is for you and I not to get sick. We are still together here, right? Well, the greatest problem that we have in today's society is we have been trained to expect disease. Is anybody listening to me here now? We have been trained to expect disease. I was just telling the members class some month and a half ago, I don't know, 6 weeks ago, I'm driving and I turn on talk radio to hear what's going on. And it happens that the weather guy was in. The weather channel says, blah, 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 it's that time of the year. It's pollen time. I turn off the radio. Are you nuts? Well, I understand that pollen is higher here than anywhere in the United States. So what? Why should I expect to be hit by pollen? So, day before yesterday, I believe, I'm coming in here. And I'm a little bored. I turn on the radio. Well, folks, this is Mike, blah, 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 from the Weather Channel. You better get your closets ready because pollen is here. I turn it off again. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. All right, on the way out of here, I turn on. Many of the men in the United States suffers from, I turn off the radio again. And I'm thinking, what is wrong with these people? Every time you turn on the radio, you're told that you're going to get sick. We are trained. Now, I keep thinking, I don't know about TV because I don't watch TV. If the radio is that bad, I believe. And it's worse because they're going to be showing pictures of people sick and how that pharmaceutical company has the answer for your problem. And then you're going to have to give that hard-worked money that God blessed you with. So in other words, we have been trained, and I hate that, to expect diseases. And in our days, if you find somebody that is healthy, it's surprising to a lot of people. When I went to check my heart, the lady asked, who is your family doctor? I said, I don't have one. She said, what? I don't have one. She goes, how is it possible you don't have a family doctor? I don't know. I'm a healthy man. Jesus has taken care of me. I don't have a family doctor. Don't you go to doctors? I said, no. Why? Because I don't need it. She goes, oh my God. And then she goes to the other lady, can you talk to him? Maybe he doesn't understand what I'm saying. She comes, que es tu doctor? I said, what are you talking? Don't you speak Spanish? No. They look to each other. You don't have a family doctor? No. What? How is that even possible? I said, you know, when you believe in Jesus Christ, you're covered, you're backed up by the scriptures, God got your back. She said, forget it, just scratch that thing. So she continued to do whatever scratch meant. She continued. In our days, when somebody's healthy, it's a surprise for a lot of people. Does that mean that we are better? No. But unfortunately, we've been trained to expect diseases. Here's, I think, where the church fails miserably. We should be interested in what God has said about us, not what the commercial TV is saying. Not what the weatherman is saying. And do you know why we should be interested in what God says? Since God honors only His word, not the word of the weatherman or the commercial, then what God has said is the only thing we should be concerned about. Huh? Yes. Listen to Psalms 138, verse 2. The weatherman may have good intentions, but I'm not going to be trained by what the weatherman said. The only thing that I'm interested in is the word of God. Why? Because God will honor His word. I will worship toward your holy temple. I love it because he starts saying, I will worship. I'm not concentrating on what the weatherman is saying. Then I noticed that when I walk into Walmart to get some dish soap, right at the entrance, on the front heads, that's a lot, lots of allergy medicine, right at the head end. And I'm thinking, don't we think anymore? Doesn't these people think for themselves? I will worship toward your holy temple. I'm not going to be a word about what the weatherman says. And praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. Amen. Whatever God says is the truth. Whatever the weatherman says is supposition. The pollen is here, and I am not bowing to the pollen. Here's what people miss. For you have magnified your word. Ah! You know, underline that statement in your Bible. You have magnified your word above all your name. Let me break it very quick for you. The Lord is known by different names. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Adonai Rapha, Adonai Yireh, Adonai Tzidkenu, Adonai Nisi, Adonai Shalom. I thought it was Jehovah. But you can have Jehovah. That's made by the lousy rabbis and the Anglican priests on the 1600 in England. The word Jehovah is not on the Bible. It has been added lately. Well, my Bible says Jehovah. Yes, it does say. But it's not on the original manuscript. The word Jehovah is a mix-up of YHWH, which is the name of the Lord. They took away the vowels, left the consonants, and then they take the vowels from Adonai and mix them up, and that's how you get Jehovah. So I will not use Jehovah, I will use Adonai. Is that a sin? No, it's not a sin. I just don't want to do it. But God has different names. The Lord is our banner. The Lord is our healer. The Lord is our peace. The Lord is our provider. And on and on and on and on. The book says that God will magnify His word above every one of the names that He's known. And this is why I will be concerned about what the word of God speaks. In Isaiah 53:1, you and I are given the challenge. He asked very clearly, whose report are you going to believe? You know, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Well, God's word revealed in Psalms 138, verse 2, that the Lord will exalt His word above His name. So whatever the weatherman says, No matter how good intention he might have had, I'm going to stick with the report of the Lord. Plain and simple. I'm going to stick with the report of the Lord. So, preacher, is that a conclusion to this thought? Yes. Anything we think or believe that does not match what God's report has said, anything that you and I think that does not match how God thinks of us is a form of insanity. And I know it's a heavy word here, but let me tell you this. Insanity is a not sane thinking. Are you following me here? Insanity is not a sane thinking. I don't understand. To think that I'm going to be hit by pollen is ridiculous. I will believe in the report of the Lord. His report said I'm healed. End of story. We believe that the scriptures indicate God does heal today. You may be arguing here in your mind, well, if that's true, preacher, why you start your sermon with that statement? Because I want to see if I can purge you from that idea that it's God's perfect will for you to be healed. Mm-mm. I believe that God's perfect will is for you not to be sick. But in case you get sick, He will heal us. So then, I'm here to say that I believe the scriptures indicate that God does heal today. Although there will be many preachers out there saying that healing is already gone for today. There's some other preacher saying that there is no connection between the human spirit and the physical body. And this is why I told you, I've been digging on this more than ever before. And it is shocking to find out that 73% of the diseases we have has to do with our thinking. My goodness, it's alarming. And I'm thinking, Lord, give my scripture that I can back up this thought. I mean, several things came to mind. And one that was given to me was Proverbs 17:22. Proverbs 17:22. Read it with me. A merry heart does good like medicine. In this scripture here, Solomon is showing us the connection between the spiritual man and the body. Solomon is showing us the connection between thinking and the health of the body. A merry heart does good. So in other words, instead of being fixated, instead of being dramatically tied up to that television set or radio set that says that pollen is here and you better get used, you better go to Walmart and fill up your cabinet of allergy medicine, I would be depressed, sick, sad. I'm going to rejoice in the goodness of my God. I'm going to worship towards His holy sanctuary. And I'm going to try to get rid of every sadness that I can possibly do on my own. Amen. Because a merry heart is good like medicine. If we could get rid of half of the sadness and the garbage that causes us to be sad, we won half of our battle. Because laughing is good medicine. Now, on the other hand, he says, a broken spirit dries the bones. Watch this. Brothers, may I have the New Living Translation here? A cheerful heart is good medicine. But a broken spirit saps a person's strength. Did I get my point across? So there is a connection between your state of mind and your health. So what do? Get out of the sad mode. How do I do that? There are things in life that you can change it. You can change. So with those things, ask God grace to accept. The things that can be changed, ask God boldness and courage to change. Somebody say that misery likes company. Have you heard that?
Yes.
So instead of being miserable at all time, snap out of it.
Amen.
I have made up my mind. I'm not going to be persuaded.
Amen.
Here am I on this doctor's office waiting to have my echocardiogram done. And half of the commercials, if I'm paying attention, I would start crying right in there.
Yeah.
Your heart are susceptible to many of the new diseases. Da 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 da. And I'm thinking, lady, this is a doctor's office. Why you have this garbage in here?
I don't know, sir. I don't run the office.
Are you over the age of 60? Are you have problem urinating? This is a new commercial. This is a new product by blah, blah. My God. We are in a doctor's office. And commercial time is only junk. No wonder you get sick. By listening to all that garbage, you end up sad. And a broken spirit is going to sap the strength in our bodies. Watch this. May I have the backslide of translation here? Watch this. A cheerful disposition is good for your health. Gloom and doom. You know what I love about this translation? The word disposition. A cheerful disposition. We can choose to be happy. We can choose to walk upon sadness. And I know that there are things in life sometimes that is really rough. But you know, sadness can be a choice. And some people, unfortunately, get sad too quick, too fast. And when that gloom and doom takes over, I love what he says. It leaves us bone tired. So what you're saying, preacher? What I'm saying here, folks, we've been trained to expect diseases. And this is not what God intends for you and I. The scripture shows connection between health, between the health of a human spirit and the health of the marrow of your bones. You got that? Now, if I would like to kind of push into the envelope here, it's not unfair to say that if you're heartbroken, you may have some kind of bone disease. Because if it leaves you bone tired or bone dry, I could assume that there's a connection between the marrow and the state of mind of a person. Is that correct? The nearly inspired version makes it interesting. Watch this. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. So you have your daughter coming over to your house, and your daughter said something to you that you didn't like. Then you get upset. Then you get broken heart. Then you start crying.
that's going to dry up the marrows within your bones. And you're going to have pain on your bones just because you got upset about what your daughter told you. Come on, get real. Well, you say that because you don't have a daughter. Yes, I do. And mine has not crushed my spirit yet. And she better not, because I would spank her before that happened. Let me tell you this, folks. Happiness is a choice. Amen. Happiness is a choice. We can choose to be miserable and let the misery, the crushed spirit, dry up our bones and cause us to be sick. Are you with me so far? Yes. So, what you're saying? Choose health! Amen. Choose life! Oh, Prince, it's not my daughter, it's my son. So what? If you haven't learned by now, you can't control another person's way of thinking or feeling or acting. Anybody heard what I said?
Yes.
The only person you can control is you. So choose happiness, although you may have a reason to have a crushed spirit. But why would I have bone problem just because I'm heartbroken with my grandchildren? A lady called me here. She called a scrivener. So a scrivener's wife sent me an email. Pastor Paul, can you please call this lady and pray? So I pick up the phone and said, what's going on here? Please pray for this woman. I said, no, you want to dump that on me? She said, the staff is already worn out with her. Said, okay. Can you do me this favor? Sure. After I read the email, I called the lady. So before I called, I said, Lord, I need some strategy here. Can I have some help here? So the strategy was given. I am not going to get into detail. I pick up the phone. May I speak to Miss Yabdi Yabdi? Who's calling? This is Pastor Paul Santos from the Faith Center in Baltimore. Just a moment, please. Yabdi Yabdi, telephone for you. Who is this? Some pastor from Baltimore. Oh, okay. Hello? Said, hello, dear sister, how are you? I am, stop. You asked me how I am? I said, yes, that's just being polite. What? I said, I called to pray for you. I already know who you are. And hear how it's going to go. The Lord gave me the revelation. She had been crushed in her spirit. Because her grandchildren, one of her grandchild, did not do what she wanted them to do and went out and broke a tradition that the family had of nobody getting pregnant before marriage. And this beloved soul could never get over that thing. And as a result, the whole hands were all cramped up. She tried to talk, shh, I didn't finish yet. Then I brought up that scripture. So now you can talk. Do you want to be healed right now? Yes! Now here's the deal. You're not only going to forgive that child. You're going to scream. I want to hear you scream so loud from wherever you are that it's going to resound here in Baltimore. What do you want me to scream? Lord, I forgive yabadi, 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 yabadi for doing this and that and the other. I am really, truly forgiven my grandchild. And I'm choosing to be happy
actually, I'm going to enjoy that great-grandchild. You don't know what you're asking. And then I said, well, you don't know what you're missing. What do you mean? You're missing your health, and you're missing a child that has nothing to do with your grandpiness because of your lousy family tradition. Do we wish to have children getting pregnant out of wedlock? Absolutely not. But it already happened. You cannot send the baby back to the womb and undo what is done. Get over.
My goodness. Are you a preacher?
I said, yes, I am.
A strange one.
So, well, I got some people on hold. Are you going to pray or should I go to the next call?
No, I'll pray.
And folks, this lady is screaming. And I'm thinking, yes. The time she finished, I prayed for her. She says, oh my God. I said, I know. I know. What do you know? The pain is leaving. She said, not only that, but my hands are going back to normal. You can choose to be crushed in the spirit and get all the bone and joints pain. Or you can choose to take the higher road. Whatever has happened, we can't undo. So being miserable for whatever happened will only cause diseases. Now, I want you to understand here, I'm not saying that we condone this kind of nonsense. And I feel sorry for the grandchild, because they're going to pay a price down the road. I'm kind of hesitant to tell you the next scripture that I have here, because let me finish this statement here. A broken spirit dries the bones. It's revealed on the Word of God. And I would be bold enough to say to you that this is the root of environmental illness. Did you hear what I said? A broken spirit. I would venture to say it's the root of environmental illness. Being health is God's desire for us. Being health has always been God's plan to you and I. It's allergy time, and I wanted to address the allergy time right now. But I'm afraid I'm not going to have enough time to do this. I want to throw something at you this morning, and I want you to be godly enough to listen to what I'm saying. Without getting upset. Without making a conclusion before you check the scriptures. Part of the revelation I got from God yesterday, for me, it was quite disturbing. Let's go to James. I'm going to skip. Let's go to James chapter 5, verse 15 and 16. And again, I want to ask you, before you get upset at the preacher, I want you to listen to what I'm saying. Can you do that? This is a new revelation to me. You know what? Let's go back one scripture, one verse. Is anyone among you sick? Which means there might be somebody among us sick. Is that correct?
Yes.
Let him call for the elders of the church. Now, I want to call your attention to this here right now. We have people in the church that are prayer warriors, that love to pray for people, that has been gifted by God to pray for people. But if it comes to that point where you are bedridden at home, sick, you should call the elders of the church, not the prayer warrior. And I want you to keep this in mind and you understand where I'm coming from. Are you together here? So you're saying that I cannot call a prayer warrior? Call an elder, somebody in leadership position in the church. Why? Not only they have been trained, but the anointing has been passed on to them. When we had that anointing service at inauguration of our congregation, Brother Cecil, Brother David and his wife, Sister Francisca, Sister Cordelia, Sister Rose, Brother Ted, Brother Donald, these folks that has been placed into position of leadership tapped in the anointing that was upon me, that is upon me. That's not biblical. Oh, yes. Moses was carrying that heavy load by themselves. Thank God so far, none of this one we have chosen have played these Marty pants. And we thank God for this. You with me so far, right? Whenever you call one of these people to pray for you, if you're bedridden sick, they will do what they've been trained to do. And I will be made aware that you are sick by one of them. I may even join them and go together to pray for you. So why can't I call another person in church to pray for me? Because it might become gossip. But there's a bigger reason behind that, and you will see as we go through this. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of Jesus. We anoint people with oil in our congregation here as a courtesy, but it's not a requirement. Anointed with oil is for those who are bedridden, that are calling the elders in church from the church to pray for them. This is what the book says. So why do you do that? Well, because this is not something that's going to take my share on the tree of life or add the plagues of this book upon my life. What are you talking about? You'll get it another day. Verse 15. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. I'm not saying that prayer warriors or people who love to pray don't have enough faith to pray for the sick. I didn't say that. You will see that many times when the prayer time comes, I assign people that are not elders to pray. Is that correct?
Yes.
Is there a contradiction here? No. There isn't a contradiction. I assign first the members of the team, and if we have more people than the members of the team, I will commission somebody to pray, but I always come behind and join them in the prayer. You with me so far, right?
Yes.
Now, the people that has been commissioned, the spirit of faith that rests upon me is supposed to rest upon them. And this is how you're going to know a leader, a true leader. They will have faith. Are we together here?
Yes.
He goes on to say, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. The reason that we will call the eldership of the church is because of the fact that in many instances, sickness is a result of sin. Is anybody with me here?
Amen.
When you are before a church leader, along with Christ Jesus, healing can take place right away when sins are forgiven. But stay with me. Verse 17, 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. I want somebody to look at the scripture here and tell me something that you never saw before. Anything. You never saw before. Just read the whole scripture. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. What is it that God is showing you and I today in this scripture here that was never brought up to you before? All right.
It seems to say that not only the one who's being prayed for is to confess, but also the elder himself.
Okay. I'm going to throw a stone at you right now. All of you. Not at your brother. At the whole congregation. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray. Is that what it says? For one another. You know what? Brother Harry, give me the King James Version here. Confess your faults to one another. And pray for one another that ye may be healed. Is anybody seeing something here? I look at this scripture now, and it is really obvious that many of us are missing a big piece of the puzzle. What is it, preacher? Don't you think it's interesting that James assumes we are all going to sin? Does anybody listen to me here?
Yes.
Now, this version here says faults. May I have the New King James again? This one here calls trespasses. What about the Never Inspired Version? I mean, Nearly Inspired Version. Are you with me so far? So it seems like James is assuming that we are all going to sin. And you know, it's amazing to think how many Christians, how many church people, after a while, forget that we still sin regularly. Is anybody following me here so far? Sometimes daily. Now, let me make it clear to you. We are sinners who have been saved by the blood of Jesus. But if we are not completely yield to the Spirit of God on a daily basis, we're going to still sin. Hopefully, less and less, the more we yield to the Spirit of God. Are you with me so far? Based on this scripture here, James said, if somebody is sick in church, call the elders. You following me so far, right? Let the elder anoint with oil. That was verse 14. Let the elder anoint that person with oil. And the prayer of faith shall save. 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 Save the sick. Are you with me so far? Then he goes on to say, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. What you're saying? He's inferring here that diseases that will lay us in bed sick may be, and only may be, a result of sin in our lives. Now, here's the catch. And I was blown away when the boss told me this yesterday. I said, Lord, wait a minute. Let me write this thing down. James is clear on what to do when we sin. What do? We confess the sin. Here's the catch. We confess it to each other. Did you see that? The majority of the people that I have dealt with that have sinned said, well, I already confessed to God. Good. So what's the big deal then? Well, if that was good enough, why then is James saying to confess to each other? Would you like to know why? When you confess the sin to God alone, you are forgiven. Yes. 1 John 1:9 said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us, is that right?
Yes.
Our sins, and to cleanse us from all our iniquities. The confession of sin to God brings forgiveness and cleanliness of that sin. But then, confessing the sin to each other will bring the healing of our bodies. You didn't get it. It went over your head. Well, let me put it this way. There is a big difference between forgiveness and healing. I want you to listen to this. There is a big difference between forgiveness and healing. And this difference is why so many Christians today are stuck. They are not confessing to each other. They are only confessing to Jesus. When we confess to Jesus, we are forgiven. But when we confess to another Christian, we get healed. Are you with me here? I'm going to go as far as to say that many people in church today, they are forgiven. But they're not healed. Because they're not doing what God's words command. And what is this? Confessing to their brother. And this is why you need to call an elder of the church. Did you get that? I'm going to work on this next week. But let me say this. Some people will say, well, I'll tell it to my wife. All right. It's great to tell to your wife, but be ready that one of those days she's mad, there's going to be some pot flying your way. Nothing wrong doing this. So what's the problem? You're asking your wife to do something that she's not designed to. And I'm addressing especially the men today. And here's something that the church misses. It's interesting to see that James puts the responsibility of confessing on the person who sins. Is anybody with me here? A lot of people are putting the responsibility of their sins on the pastors. You know, on their bosses. But do you know why people are not so excited about confessing sin to each other? It takes real testosterone. It takes guts. Are you with me so far? It takes guts. So, who should I say that to? Well, if you're in that bad shape, call an elder of the church. Open up. You don't have to get into gruesome details. This is why we have deaconesses and evangelists. If you are a woman, you don't have to call the whole deaconesses board. No. Grab one. You already confessed the sin to God. God forgave you. Now confess it to one of the ladies. She will pray for you and you will get healed. You're a man? Don't call the deaconesses. There are men in the church. Leadership. Call another man. Now have the guts. I know that for the girls it's easier than for the men. Because of that stupid thing called pride. We don't want to be seen as weak. And because of this, we got stuck with sickness and diseases in our body. You don't like it? Go to James. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. James is suggesting, James is commanding, James is saying here that I'm supposed to confess my sins to another person. I am the one who's supposed to do this and supposed to be prayed for so that healing may take place. Now, it's obviously understandable that a lot of people don't want to open today because there's a bunch of bozo in the church that cannot hear something and then the whole congregation is going to know. So let's get this thing straight. Thank God for the people in leadership in our congregation so far. So good. Let's keep it that way. If you've been contacted by, if you're a female leader in the church, and you've been contacted by a church member about something like this, listen to it, don't judge, pray for that person so that person can be healed. And as you leader, I have to be made aware of it. For some other reason, there's still a head in this place. It's Jesus Christ. And I work for him. And you work with me. You are my Joshuas. Are we still together on this?
Yes.
But for the rest of us, if it comes to pass that why somebody's talking you or ear dropping, shut up, keep it to yourself. And if you want to join the boat in praying for that soul, do so. When it is done through the wrong means, it breeds gossip. And I have zero tolerance for gossip. I do. Last congregation that we had an episode of gossip, I'm praying like I always do before I come in to preach. Sister Yabadi comes in. Pastor. Did you hear about Sister Mavis? Oops. Sister Borgia? So what? Did you hear about Sister Borgia? Hear what? Pastor, I don't want to tell you. So if you don't want to tell me, why are you walking to my office and ask if I heard about Sister Borgia? Pastor, they are saying that she did so. Is that right? Yes. You sure about this? Yes. Okay, I'll handle this. Service time come. About to finish it. Sister Yapati, come here, sweetheart. And she's coming all safe. In front of the whole church. Sister Borgia, come here, please. When they look at Sister Yapati, she became yellow, green, pale, purple. Pastor, what are you doing? Relax. Pastor, what are you doing? Relax. Sister Borgia came, yes, Pastor, can you stand here? Yes. Okay. Can you face each other? Yes. Hi, sis. Hi. Is everything okay, Pastor? I said, yes. Well, Sister Borgia, Sister Yapati came to my office this morning and made a comment that I want her to repeat it before you. Well, sis, now is the time. Pastor, what are you doing? I said, you came to my office to tell me that Sister Borgia, Pastor. I said, what? You don't have to tell the whole church. I said, sister, when you walk into my office accusing this woman from doing something, and you don't have the guts to say it in front of her, you're either a liar, or your lips has been used by the devil to spread out false rumors. But it's not to be told in front of the whole church. Well, if it is bad, and both of you are members of the church, it will affect the whole church. And we are a family here. Nobody's going to be mistreating anybody. Everybody can commit a fault. If the preacher commits adultery tomorrow, the whole church will know it. And the preacher will be the first one to come and say, okay, folks, I messed up. I ask you for your forgiveness. I will do it. God forbid. But this is how it's supposed to be. Confess your sins to one another or to each other so that you may be healed. Well, needless to say, Sister Yapati Yapati starts shaking and change color. You know what, Pastor? Forget about what I said. I said, I want you to ask that lady forgiveness for what you said. If it is true, then let us know in front of the congregation so she has the opportunity to ask forgiveness to church. And you know what? That was the last gossip we had in the church 14 years ago. 14 years ago. We had a rehearsal here already in our congregation recently. And I decided I'm going to approach and get this thing clear. But then again, the thing stopped. So what you're saying, preacher? Many of us are sick today because we are not doing the commandments of God. Many of the diseases today can be a result of sin. And if the disease that is affecting us is a result of sin, the best way to handle it is not come and tell the whole church. Call an elder of the church. Confess that sin. I already confessed it to God. Good. When you confess to God, you were forgiven and purified from that sin. But you still remain sick. When you confess to each other, healing takes place. Why? Because the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I had another call from the People's Republic of Massachusetts recently. The person quoted that scripture. So there's only one problem here. What is it? I said, you're not confessing to somebody in your congregation because you still want to keep the good image. And that is garbage. So here's the deal. You either tell your pastor or I will tell him. Oh my God. You don't expect that you're going to be sinning and getting away with it because you call a preacher 600 miles away, right? I know that you want to preserve the good image, but the fact is you messed up. Plain and simple. Can we agree on this?
Yes.
So are you going to confess or should I call?
I will tell him.
Okay. Tell your pastor that on the day that you tell him that, for him to call and collect. Why? I will know that you did it.
Well, I don't think we need to do that.
I say, okay, fair enough. We're not going to do this. But I'm going to pray with you now, and I'm going to tell you this. If you don't confess this thing to your leaders, within 7 days, the sickness will come back 3 times worse than what you have now. Oh, my God. All right. 7 days later, the pastor called me. May I please speak to Pastor Santos? So, yes, this is Pastor Santos. This is Reverend da-da-da-da-da, doctor, blah, 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 blah. All right. I've been told that one of my members called you. I said, okay. The name of the person is yadi, 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 yadi. Da-da-da. Oh, yes. Has the person made a confession? Yes, sir. But why did you ask him to do that? I quoted the scripture. It's a matter of accountability. Folks, many of our diseases can be taken care of right away. Many of the illnesses that is tormenting us can be taken care of right away because the book says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. When I confess to God, I'm forgiven. When I confess to God, I'm purified. When I confess to God, I'm cleansed. Then when I confess to an elder in the church, I am healed. Are you with me here? You have been wired by God to live in divine health, not in divine healing. In case there isn't enough faith to live in divine health, and I do sin, when I confess, I can be restored through divine healing. I hope you get what I'm saying here right now. In case there isn't enough faith to live in divine health, I can confess my sins to one of the elders and be restored by or through divine healing. Why? At the end of the day, the Lord wired you to be healed. May the Lord bless you.